There are few things in this world more powerful than a good story. It's why grandchildren gather around their grandparents, listening to stories from long ago and realizing our grandparents were just like us growing up. It's why we love to be surprised by a story about a lifelong friend, someone we thought we knew so well, only to discover she was the mascot for her high school football team. And it's why the waitress has to fill our water glass 2 or 3 times after dinner is over. Because one story leads to another story, which leads to another. And it is why Jesus told stories. It's why the gospel comes to us as a story. It's why we are called to tell the old, old story. Throughout our lives, we are all searching for a bigger story that can give meaning to our story. And it's why Stanley Hauerwas reminds us, we need to be careful to keep our story straight. The story of Jesus in the Gospel of Mark begins beside the river. We hear the voice of John the Baptist speaking of repentance and forgiveness, that the people who are coming to see him are being baptized there in the River Jordan. It is the same place where the Hebrew people long ago crossed over, finally leaving the hardship of oppression in Egypt behind them, entering that land that they would call home. And it's in the same spirit of redemption that John is plunging the faithful into those same waters. There are many reasons why gathering at the river has long been important for the church. In the history of revivalism on the early frontier of this country, Bernard Weisberger, a church historian, describes these mass revivals where at the end, the people were invited to literally leave the tent and to gather at the river. That the harsh, rough terrain of the early frontier was softened by the passion of faith. But then the revival started to overshadow the river. Instead of leaving the tent and gathering on the riverbanks, decision cards and follow-up phone calls were put in its place. Eventually, the shiny appeal of the revival wore off. But the church was still left with the calling of baptism, which helps us to keep our story straight. That when people would step off of the banks of the River Jordan, following the voice of John the Baptist, they were not wearing white robes. They were embracing the message of repentance. And when they walked out of those waters, standing on the shore, no one handed them a towel. They stood there, dripping with the waters of baptism. When we schedule baptism today, we make sure to remind everyone to bring an extra towel and perhaps even a hairdryer. That you might need a change of clothes, and we will put on robes and regulate the water temperature. We leave nothing to chance. But one thing remains the same. We hope to continue to drip with the waters of grace. Perhaps that is what John the Baptist meant when he said, "I baptize you with water, but there is one who is coming that is more powerful than I. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit." That the Spirit of God calls us to return again and again to those waters of grace, letting the story of Jesus to shape the story of our lives. That baptism is more than a single event. It is a way of life. When Paul was in Ephesus, he met some who were among the people of the way, which is how Christians were first referred to. And he asked them, "Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you became believers?" And they said, "No," somewhat confused. They said, "We were baptized with the baptism of John." So Paul baptizes them into Christ Jesus, which Paul writes in Romans, "When we are baptized into Christ Jesus, we are baptized into his death, so that just as Christ was raised from the dead, so may we too walk in newness of life." That baptism is more than a fleeting event. It is a way of life. It is a self-giving love, which echoes the love of Jesus. That baptism might speak of death, but it reveals life. Caleb Wild is a third-generation funeral director, working with his grandfather and his father before him back when he was a youth. So over the course of his lifetime, he has stood with families in the most sacred moments of their lives. And he says that death invites us to pause. And when we pause, standing there confronted by death, it reveals to us what matters the most in life. It shows us that there is nothing, absolutely nothing, that can separate us from the love of God. And that is what we find in the waters of baptism. It is a love that can shape the story of our lives. I remember as a boy getting out of the pool, and the first thing my parents said to me was to dry off. Well, the first thing they said to me was, "Don't run by the pool." But the second thing was, "Dry off." They didn't want me going inside, dripping wet, messing everything up. That if you got out of the pool, you needed to go ahead and dry off, which was sound advice. Wet clothes are uncomfortable. Wet hair is embarrassing. And wet feet causes us to slip and fall. But as a good friend of mine once said, baptism asks us to never dry off. That we are to continue to drip with the waters of grace, to immerse ourselves in the love of Christ, to live with that same self-giving love, where we can offer strength to the weary, where we can renew what is broken, where we can let others know that they also belong, where we can care for our loved ones and reach out to the stranger, where we can tell the story of God's love, which we participate in when we let the story of Jesus shape the story of our lives. After Jesus emerged from the waters of the River Jordan, he left the banks of those rivers and he entered the wilderness where he would face temptation. And Henry Nouwen reminds us that one of the ways in which Jesus was tempted was to do something spectacular, to leap off of the temple, to let the angels rescue him, which would have, no doubt, drawn a great crowd and amazing applause. But Jesus refused. He was not called to do something spectacular. He was called to love. And so are we. So whenever we call a friend to see how he is doing after the loss of his grandfather, sharing some of the pain we felt when our grandfather died, offering empathy. That whenever we pick up food and turn our car around, going back to give it to a person standing on the side of the road holding a sign that says, "I am hungry." Anytime we lean over to care for our child who is hurting, sharing tears with her, absorbing some of her pain. Whenever we set another place at the table to welcome our new neighbors to town or to welcome our neighbors from across town. Whenever we stretch ourselves, learning how to relate to others who are different from us, we participate in the story of God. In the story of Jesus, he got up from the table and he took a towel and he started to wash the disciples' feet. It was a self-giving love. Those waters remind us of the waters of baptism. They remind us of our calling. They remind us to follow Jesus. They are the story that shapes our story. And the sounds of water are all around us. Whenever we wash our hands, whenever we water the flowers, whenever we pour a glass of water to drink, water is life-giving. And perhaps the sound of water all around us can be a constant reminder that baptism is more than a fleeting event. It is a way of life, that we are to continue to drip with the waters of grace, that we are called to never dry off. Amen.